Chapter 15, if you would. 1 Corinthians 15, we continue on our study of the end times. And boy, we're excited about the opportunities of the last several weeks, talking about world empires and, statues. And last week, talking about Israel and how important they are to this prophecy of the end times and how exciting it is to watch all of these things developing even today. And I just give you this kind of thought. Tonight, I promise it's not going to be so academic. It'll be a lot more of a scriptural message as far as the Bible goes and looking at scripture. I don't think it was wrong for us at all. On the contrary, I believe it was God's will for us to look into some of those things, the world empires and Israel and all current events and so forth. That'll kind of puts together a picture for us of what's happening. And tonight we're going to get back into scriptures and study some doctrine concerning this topic that we're going to be covering tonight. And this matter that we're going to talk about, the next item on the agenda, so to speak, as it comes to end times, is this matter of the resurrection, or really the rapture of the church. And I'm excited tonight to be able to do this. This brought me great joy as I'm studying and remembering, reflecting on this. You have in your Bibles 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm just going to read a couple verses here. We're going to be several places in our Bible tonight, and so I encourage you to be vigilant in your turning and scrolling, whatever kind of Bible you have here tonight. And let's find God's Word tonight in our hearts. Notice the Bible says in verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We find this echoed, this doctrine echoed in our study in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll be heading over there a little bit. But I want you to remember tonight that this is an important doctrine for us as Christians. We stand on this idea that the Lord God, Jesus himself, is coming again. Not just to be on this earth, although that is his second coming, but there's a time when he is going to take his church away. And I want to talk about that tonight, why we believe that, what are the verses that we stand on, and I believe it'll help you. In the world's largest library, the Library of Congress, there are many buildings. I think there may be 5 or 8 buildings to the Library of Congress. And in the Thomas Jefferson building, in one of the reading rooms around the top of the ceiling, you'll find this inscription: one God, one law, and one far-off divine event to which the whole creation moves. Isn't that interesting? Inscribed around the top of that building is this understanding and acknowledgement that there is a divine event that the whole creation is moving to. We as Christians tonight, I would like to just speak that that event that we are moving to, that was recognized by the founders of our country, was this event that we're talking about tonight, and that is the rapture of the Christians tonight. And what a blessed hope that that is for every one of us. What a joy it brings to us to remember that Jesus Christ will come for his own. Throughout history, millions of Christians have looked forward to this one event. Today, there are more indicators than ever that this event is imminent, close at hand. The Bible gives us some understanding of this. It doesn't tell us when this will happen. On the contrary, we know that only the Lord God knows when this will happen. But we know that there's some indicators. There are some benchmarks some litmus tests that we can find to tell us that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ must be close at hand. And tonight, consider these benchmarks. The Bible talks about in Matthew 24 in verse number 6 and 7 that there will be wars and rumors of wars. Does that characterize our day today? Yes, it does. We're sitting in the middle of a crisis with Ukraine and Russia at this very moment. And the powers of the world are trying to figure out what to do and how to make this something that won't develop into a worldwide crisis. Wars and rumors of wars. That's just one area. Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, we talked about this last week, deals with the return of Egypt to their land. That's another indication of the fact that the Lord was going to come back soon. God promised that he would bring his people back to their land, and that's already been accomplished. Also, the Bible talks about in Matthew 24, verse number 17, the false prophets will rise. Today we have more false prophets preaching than ever, I believe. And the propagation of this false doctrine is greater than ever through the technology that we have today. So false prophets will rise. But also in Daniel chapter 12, we read about increased technology and increased transportation throughout the world. That's an indicator of the time before the judgment, the time before Christ would come again. And that's very interesting to me as we live in a day where that has really exploded. We find also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, there will be a rise in occultic practices. That is, people that are dabbling in this worship of Satan and the occult. And we find that on the rise as well. So much so, I can't remember the exact state, but I want to say it's Oklahoma, that the Wiccans were trying to get privilege of putting up their own statue because of the fact that there was a Ten Commandments on public property that was paid for by private citizens and placed there. They demanded equal rights, and so they're going to put their statue to Satan, and they've submitted the design and everything else and waiting for approval for that to go. What I'm saying, though, is we see this increasing more and more. That's foretold in the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 4. But we also find, also the Bible speaks of diseases and earthquakes that will be on the rise. And data tells us that both of those things are true. According to Luke 21, that there is going to be these indicators that Christ, the world will tend more and more towards these chaotic events that are an indicator that Christ will be coming back again. Isn't that interesting? I'm not here to, again, to preach fear and trepidation. I'm here to bring comfort tonight. And everything we've laid the foundation for in our study of end times is about being comforted, being encouraged, being motivated. I take you back to verse number 58 in our text tonight. And I want to just show you that Paul, after he talks about being caught up together and all of these things coming together, what is it our motivation is supposed to be? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we find also in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul again speaking to those dear Thessalonian believers that we're becoming more familiar with every week, aren't we? And here these Thessalonian believers were challenged by Paul. Listen, you have a wrong understanding of the rapture. You're thinking that your loved ones are going to be lost forever. No, I'm telling you that you're going to meet them again. And then the motivation was comfort one another with these words. And so the challenge for us tonight is to look at this rapture doctrine in light of Scripture and take comfort and motivation from it. So seeing these things through the lens of Scripture really brings encouragement, not desperation. It brings motivation and not fear. And when we look at it through the Scriptures, then this comfort is wonderful. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, I think, is the most comforting of all when we're talking about the rapture. And that is that the Bible says, looking for that blessed hope. Amen? And I've preached about that. I'm so thankful for that blessed hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's wonderful the way the Bible talks about it. Let's take our Bibles tonight. I want you to look at the promise of the rapture given to us in Scripture tonight. And have your Bibles ready there. But I want you to notice, first of all, that it is frequently quoted in Scripture. Do you know that the rapture, the coming of Christ, is one of the most preached doctrines in the New Testament? As a matter of fact, there are over 300 references about the coming of the Lord. That represents one in every 30 verses of the New Testament. They reference the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One out of every 30 in the whole New Testament. Another fact is, about 23 out of 27 books of the New Testament have some reference to this doctrine, the coming of the Lord. For every prophecy about his coming the first time as a little baby, there are 8 prophecies about his coming the second time as a king. Now, tonight, I'm thankful for the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has made it abundantly clear that this is something that we look at very, very strongly and recognize that it's a doctrine that God wanted us to understand. So it's frequently given in Scripture. But I want you to notice, number two, that it's not just some doctrine of man. This is not something that we have as a doctrine that mankind has made up or something that we've come up with. Notice what the Bible says. I mentioned already Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. But notice, if you would, the words that the Bible uses referencing this doctrine of the rapture. Number one, we said it's a blessed hope. Amen? That means it's something that we have a longing for, something that we are basing our future on. That's what the word hope means. It's a blessed hope. You see the confidence that's given there. This is sure. This is something that God wants us to be established in. Notice also the Bible talks about it, that it being our position in heaven. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Turn over there real quick. You're not far if you're in Corinthians there. You have to go back in your Bible towards the end. Just a few books there. Philippians chapter 3. And notice, if you would, in verse number 20. All right, now, Paul speaking to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Notice it is our position in heaven that we have this sure promise of God. It is so true. This doctrine of the coming of the Lord is so true that it is actually needs to be a reality today in our lives. Notice the Bible says in verse number 20, for our conversation, that is our manner of life, our words, everything about us are or is in where? Heaven. Did you see that? It's already there. We already have our conversation there in heaven. That's where we are according to the word of God. But notice it says, from whence? From heaven. Also, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body in and that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Now, what I'm saying is, it's so sure that that is already our position in heaven. That's where our mindset should be. That's where all of our thoughts should be geared towards. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and I'm thankful for that. And it's true, and it's sure. And the Bible tells us that in Philippians. But also, not only is it a position in heaven, and it is our blessed hope, but it is the end of our salvation. It is the realization of that which we are hoping for right now. Listen carefully to Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. The Bible says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Amen. That's our salvation. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. In other words, we are saved by Christ being on the cross. But eventually when he appears, that will be the realization of that which we've trusted by faith. It's the end of our salvation. That second coming, that rapture, I should say, is the end of that which we are putting our faith and trust in. We will see him by sight. Praise the Lord. But not only that, it's the realization then of our rewards. The surety of the rapture is so sure and so absolute that our rewards are staked on this one doctrine. Notice, if you would, in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, and I'll read it to you. 1 Peter 5 and 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear. Now we know that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The chief shepherd shall appear. Ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What I'm saying tonight is that the rapture is so sure and so absolute and so without question as a Christian that we have our staking of our rewards on that doctrine. And so tonight we understand that it is a sure promise from God, not something that we need to be wishy-washy about. But number three tonight, it's not only sure, but it's comforting. And I've already mentioned this. I'm only going to mention it in passing. John 14, verse 3, that wonderful verses about the Lord Jesus. He said, let not your heart be troubled, didn't he? Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will surely come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Notice the context of receiving or coming again. The context is, I will come again. But if you go back, he's saying, let not your heart be troubled. He's bringing comfort to us based on the fact that he's coming again. One of our children, remaining nameless, has an exceptional phobia of mom and dad being gone for a long time. And that is very troubling to this particular child of ours. And it's very difficult for them to be able to cope with that. And it's comforting when they know, hey, mom and dad are coming back. And when I do, I'm going to come up to your room and I'll give you a hug before you go to bed or whatever it might be. That's a comforting thing to remember that they're coming again. You know, the Lord Jesus brought his disciples up to this place where they were concerned. They didn't want Jesus to go away. They didn't believe that if he went away, everything was going to be okay. But God said, listen, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There's great comfort in that truth, isn't there? But not only that, it's not only a comforting promise and a sure promise, but it is a detailed promise. It's not just saying, yeah, I'll be back. God gives us very specific details about what's going to happen when he comes. Isn't that a blessing as well? I'm thankful that God gives us very specific details about that. Listen, if you would, turn over to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I mentioned this, but I want to take you here. Look at just the details that he gives us concerning this promise. The Bible says in verse number 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, for those of you not familiar with that term, asleep, the Bible talks about those being dead in Christ. That means dying with the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their hope, and his soul sacrificed on the cross as their only means of that salvation. So those that die in Christ, the Bible says they're asleep, because we know that death doesn't have any victory. It doesn't have any sting in our bodies. Just as much as sleep. We enjoy sleep. That's something that we look forward to and our body needs. And so in the same way, death is to be looked on in that way. And throughout the scripture, you'll find that saints in Christ never die. Death is a separation. Now, humanly speaking, we die, don't we? I'm separated from my loved ones. My mom was going through old 8-track, 8mm, I should say, film from back when I was born. And she was able to get some of these things put into digital format. She sent me some. We were watching all of, you know, my younger years with my aunts and uncles and everybody, you know, looking so much younger. And all my kids thinking, who in the world is that, you know? And the point is that, you know, all of that, what was the point of that? Yes, that's right. We got to see a lot of, thank you, sweetie. We saw a lot of my grandmas and grandpas that I've had, my great-grandma and grandpa, and my grandma and grandpa, and they were with us, and now they're not, many of them. I have one grandma left, and bless her heart, she's a sweet lady, loves the Lord, but you know, they're not going to be with us forever, and there's a separation there. We miss them. I look forward to seeing them again, just like many of you do as well. But what I'm saying is, in a spiritual sense, as a saint, there's no death. It's just a sleep, the Bible says. And I say all that to say, Paul wanted these Thessalonians to recognize, listen, your loved ones that went on before, they're not separated forever. They're not non-existent now. They're still there. They're as real as they ever were. They're as alive as they ever were, and even more so. Paul's saying, I'm not going to have you to be ignorant. Listen, they're asleep. Don't sorrow as others that have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. So first of all, the detail of this promise is based in whose word? Paul? No. Did you see that? The word of the Lord. Did you see that there? All right. So we know that. We've got to stand on that tonight. We know that by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent. That word means to go before. It's a little bit different than what we use today. Shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Notice, first of all, the facts about this promise. Number one, Jesus will return. Let's just mark it down, all right? That's the fact. That's what the Bible says. He will return. All right, number two fact tonight, as we find, we will hear a voice of the archangel and we'll hear a trump of God. The Bible says that very clear here. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Can you imagine hearing the Lord's shout? Whew! Man, I tell you what, you think about mom and dad yelling up to wake you guys up in the morning, kids? You think about God shouting. Wow! Man, I tell you what, no wonder those dead in Christ are going to wake up. Because if the Lord shouts, ain't nobody going to be sleeping in that. And they're going to hear it, and they're going to be awake. And that's going to be something to hear, isn't it? But the Lord is going to shout, and that's what the Bible says there. We'll hear the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. So he'll shout with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. Now, some of you boys are learning trumpets, and boy, wouldn't it be amazing to hear that trumpet sound? You know, I don't know what it's going to sound like. I don't know what song he's going to play, some sort of trumpet fanfare or something. But I know this, whatever it's going to be far more beautiful than anything mankind can play. And it's going to be amazing. And I'm looking forward to hearing that trumpet. And I was talking, our missionary, Brother Ingalls for Couriers for Christ. I was talking to him this week. And one of his letters that he wrote on his email there, he said, keep looking upward and leaning a little bit forward. That's pretty good, isn't it? You know, if the Lord's coming back, I'm going to keep my eyes looking up and I'm going to keep leaning forward a little bit. Kind of having that rapture practice, you know. He's ready to go whenever he wants. And I think that's kind of the expectation that we have with that trump. We're waiting for it. It's going to be any time. It could be tonight that we could hear that trumpet and that voice of the archangel and the shout from God. But notice number three also, not only will Jesus return, where we're going to hear a voice and we're going to hear the shout and the trumpet. But notice, if you would, the Bible says also the dead that are in Christ will be raised first. Why? Well, I don't know. Maybe they need a head start. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us that. All we know is that they're going to be first. So listen, in a moment, the Bible says that it's going to be those dead in Christ who are going to be taken to heaven. I mean, immediately. It's not even going to be this journey. You know, sometimes we think about, oh, man, that's going to be a long trip to heaven. I don't think it is at all. I think it's like being here and being there just that quick. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ are going to be raised first. And praise the Lord for that. And that God's going to take them from their graves in those places where their bodies have been decomposing and getting all the way of the earth. And they're going to be changed. They're not going to have that anymore. They're going to be all new. And boy, praise the Lord for that. All of those things are going to be made new. They're going to have a new body. And they're going to be changed in that moment of a twinkling of an eye. And the Bible says that the dead in Christ will be raised incorruptible. That means all of that corruption. You know, I don't want to be too gruesome here tonight, but if you were to pull out somebody's bones out of their coffin that you buried them in, after a while they begin to decompose, right? And maybe all that's left then is the bones left, and those bones last for a while. But you know what? That's what we call corruption. That's decay. That's something that happens to everything on this earth. But God, in his miraculous way, is going to take those old dry bones and whatever position, whatever state that body's in, and he's going to make it brand new, completely healed and incorruptible. That means it will not be subject to all the things that this body's subject to. And I know tonight we're all praising the Lord for that. After this sick season that we've come through and still getting over, man, I tell you, we're ready for some reprieve from this old corruptible body. And I just read, I had a notice, some notice came across my eyes here this week about how they, you know, with all of the exploration they're doing in the ice, they've uncovered a new super virus, you know, and from prehistoric times, and it's going to wipe us all out, you know. Great, that's another thing we got to worry about, you know. Just leave it where it's at, that's what I say. Why bother it? But let me tell you, someday, there's going to be a time when we don't have to worry about those super viruses and new anti-resistant, whatever they are, bugs and all the stuff that everybody's worried about. Listen tonight, our body's going to be incorruptible and we're going to be changed. But the Bible says the dead in Christ are going to have that first. And then we shall be changed. Notice then, I said, number one, Jesus will return. We're going to hear the voice and the shout and the trump. And then number three, the dead in Christ will rise first. Number four, we find that another detail about this promise is that the Christians then, all those that are alive, will be caught up after them. And so, I guess in a sense, if there's, you know, a way to clock these things, you know, maybe the dead will have a head start and get there first. I don't know. I think it'll be so fast, who's going to be counting? You know, it's like those Olympic timing, you know, get to the hundredth of a second, you know. But anyway, the point is, it's so fast, you're not even going to be realizing it. But we are going to be there as well. We're going to be caught up together. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. So it kind of seems like maybe, according to the structure and the language of the verse here, that, you know, they're going to be caught up in the clouds and we're going to meet them there. And then we're going to go on to be with the Lord. I don't know how that all's going to work, but that's what the Bible says. And I'm excited about that as well. And praise the Lord for that. But notice the Bible also says, we're not done yet, that the Christians will be caught up together. And then it says we will meet the Lord in the air. Now, this is significant because the Bible says that Jesus Christ will come again. And one day he's going to come back and set his feet down on this earth. But that's not what we're talking about here. Jesus is going to come. And if you look at a map or look at a timeline, you'll usually see this little arrow coming down and then going back up before it hits the ground. Because the Bible says that Jesus is going to come. He's going to shout and call and blow the trumpet. And we're going to be caught up and we're going to meet him up in the air. That means Jesus isn't going to come down to this earth. That earth, the time of his kingdom is not going to be yet. We're going to be caught up first to meet him in the air. And praise the Lord for that. By the way, he's not calling us to meet him in heaven. He's meeting us in the air. And then I think he's going to escort us home. Amen. I don't know. That's just my idea. But praise the Lord for that. And then the Bible says, number six, if we're looking at the details concerning this promise in verse 17 there. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I tell you, that doesn't bring comfort to your heart tonight. It ought to. Because to be with the Lord forever is what we are created for. That's what our whole life has been about. That's what our whole working has been for, is to be with God forever. And boy, I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to that day. Our friend, our Savior, the Almighty God, desiring to have us with him and making a place for us, making that wonderful place called heaven, and then calling us home in such a wonderful way. And praise the Lord for those promises. Tonight, I hope you see that this isn't just some vague promise that God's given to us. This is something that he's been very specific about, and he's been very clear about what's going to happen. Now, we still don't know when, but we know it's going to happen. And that's where we take our comfort and our joy. So tonight we have the promise of the rapture in that way. But I want you to notice number two tonight, that we have a hope in this rapture. The hope is, I believe, really kind of twofold, in the sense that we have hope from our sorrow and pain and loss and suffering here on this earth. I don't know of anybody in here that's not hoping for heaven. Amen. And living in light of the fact that this is going to end someday. I'm living in light of that. All right. Some days, you know, I love living and I'm thankful for my life. But man, there's just a lot of hardship. And, you know, you get ahead in one area and you get behind in another area, or you get up in this one and you get down in this one. And it's just, oh, it's a constant struggle, isn't it? Life is all about that. And our hope is that one day this is not going to, we're not going to have that. Josh, one day you're not going to have to plow snow. I mean, that's not a terrible thing, I know, but it's a moneymaker. We're not going to have to, you know, clean our house or do the laundry or have schoolwork anymore, kids. Or, you know, whatever, go to work. And I'm just saying that one day this life as we know it will be over. And in the sorrow and the loss and the suffering that we have. Now, I think in heaven there's going to be activity. There's going to be labor, perhaps, but it's not going to be for our existence and for our survival. It's going to be for God's glory. It's going to be a joy. And what a wonderful thing. And so we will have that deliverance from sorrow and pain and death. But, you know, there's another part of this comfort and this hope that we have. And that is that we will not suffer the wrath of God that's coming to this world. I believe that we're going to suffer in the sense of suffering for Christ's name. But the wrath that is stored up for the unjust is something that we, I believe, are going to be spared from. You know, that to me is a blessed hope. That to me speaks that God cares about me and wants to have me delivered before he pours out his judgment upon this earth. And I want to just give you the reasons why I believe that tonight, and why I believe that this hope is going to be something that we can stand in. Number one, it's imminent in the fact that it's going to happen at any moment. And I believe this is the case because the church, as God tells us, is not one that's appointed unto wrath. The church is not appointed to wrath or scheduled for wrath. The Bible teaches that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and you might be close there in verse number 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in other words, there's a difference between those that trust Christ as their Savior and those that remain under the wrath of God. That differentiation is important to me. And then if you go back to verse number 10 of chapter 1 in 1 Thessalonians there, chapter 1, verse 10, the Bible says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." That speaks very much volume to me about the fact that God has not appointed us as his church unto the wrath that he's reserved for the unsaved, for the lost. You know, that gives me hope tonight. Wow, because the more I read about the wrath that God's going to pour out on this earth, the happier I am that I'm not going to be around to see it. And I'm thankful tonight for that fact. But you know, not only because of the church is not appointed under wrath, but I believe it's imminent because the church is absent in the book of Revelation. And we find that after chapter number 3, where the Bible's speaking to the churches in all of those Asia Minor places, from chapter 4 to the end of the book, we don't find any more reference at all to the church of God. There's nothing ever mentioned about the church. And I believe indicative of the fact of John's recognition that there is a rapture, the church isn't going to be here on the earth. All the rest of that deals with the earth and the people in heaven. All right, all the book of Revelation there. And so the fact is that I believe that's a sign that we are not going to be here enduring the wrath. But also, because it's been promised by God. And in Revelation chapter 3, in verses 10 and 11, listen carefully as I read this. I believe the hope of our rapture to heaven is imminent because of the fact that it has been promised to us. And the Bible says in the book of Revelation chapter 3, speaking to the church there, that we find in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation." Now that hour of temptation, I think, as you study it through, talks about this matter of God's judgment on this earth, "which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Now, that verse there, I understand there's another interpretation. You can say that maybe that's speaking of the fact that during that time of temptation, God's going to be with the people and hold on because I'm coming soon. But I prefer to believe that in the context of Scripture, that this is talking more about the fact that Christ is going to deliver the church from that hour of temptation. It's not going to be something they're going to go through. And so I believe because it's promised in Revelation chapter 3. But number 4, because of the fact that the order of Scripture dictates then the way the rapture is going to happen. And if you know in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, there is the rapture first and then the wrath that is to come. And it's so important for us to realize that Paul, I think, in the order of Scripture, points out very quickly or clearly there that there is not going to be people here on this earth. That rapture comes first and then the judgment. And that's a clear indication for me as well. But also this. I believe that we will see an imminent rapture of Christ before the time of judgment, because the Bible speaks of the fact in the Old Testament we don't find the doctrine of the rapture in the Old Testament. And we don't find the doctrine of the church in the Old Testament. That is a strictly New Testament age of grace. Paul calls it the mystery that was hid from ages past. And the book of Ephesians teaches us that very clearly. But the reason that God didn't reveal that doctrine to the Old Testament prophets is because it didn't apply to them. It applied to the church. You see, there's a history that we need to understand. And I pointed this out a little bit last week, but follow with me if you would. The Old Testament saints that died will have a resurrection, but it will not be at the time of the rapture. I believe only those that are saved and died during the age of grace, that church age that Christ started at his coming to this earth, from that time to this, those will be the ones that are raptured first, and then we, which are alive and remain, will be caught together. The Old Testament saints will remain in the ground until we find that second resurrection. That is the time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Now, that's a whole different study tonight, and I can't get into all the verses for time's sake. But the fact remains that the Old Testament saints were not under that same dispensation of the rapture of the church. Therefore, it was not revealed to them. That didn't become apparent until Paul it was revealed to Paul, and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God revealed that to them. For us today, that's who we are. We're the church. And so it makes sense for us to understand it. So because of the fact that the Old Testament saints were not privy to this information about the church age and the resurrection and the rapture, then I believe that is indicative of the fact that we as God's people are going to be resurrected before God's time clock starts again. And God's time clock will start when that rapture happens. Now that time, that last week of the 70 weeks is going to take place, and it's going to be a bad one, believe me. And then at that time, that rapture, I'm sorry, God's timetable will begin again, and God's plan for Israel and God's plan for the ages will continue. But during this time of grace that God's given to us, we have special recognition in the sense that this is God's church, and there are special promises for us. And one of those being the rapture of that church before that judgment day comes. And so I'm thankful tonight that it's given to us. And this is an imminent hope that we have. It's going to be happening any moment. But can I tell you also, it's very inspirational, isn't it? We sing of it, don't we? When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. You know, there's all kinds of songs about Christ taking us to heaven and us being caught up together. And we sing all of those wonderful songs about it. Why do we do that? Because it's inspirational, isn't it? It lifts our hearts. It gives us hope. It brings us to a recognition again of what Christ is going to do for us. The fact that he hasn't forgotten and that his plan has not been fulfilled. And it's going to be very soon. And so we sing of it. We comfort each other by it, don't we? I don't know how many of you, have said to one another, hey, take heart. Jesus is coming again. Hey, it's all going to be OK. One day we're not going to put up with all this anymore. Amen. That's a comfort to me. And boy, what a blessing to be able to comfort one another. But not only is it inspirational because, you know, we sing of it and we comfort one another. But you know what? Can I just say this? We're going to see Jesus. We're going to see Jesus. That to me is the most inspirational part of it all. That Savior that we've read and sang about and learned and believed in and trusted all of these years is going to be made sight. We're going to see him. Boy, that's amazing, isn't it? And so it's inspirational. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 says, for beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Don't look at me and think about this is what I'm going to be, because I'm not going to be like this. And you're not going to be like that. It doesn't appear what we're going to be. The Bible says we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. That's a wonderful segue into my last thought here tonight. How do we prepare for this coming of the Lord? How do we prepare for this rapture? Back when I was in school, college, we had what was called in the dorm white glove. You know what white glove is, right? And a white glove is exactly what it says. It had to be clean so that the person with the white glove can't find any dirt. And I tell you, we knew when white glove was coming. Matter of fact, they gave us about a week of cleaning and limited classes to prepare for white glove. White glove was this instance where we would take everything everywhere and clean it, all of it. I mean, every square inch. And I mean, there wasn't one place in that dorm that wasn't hit or shouldn't have been hit and cleaned in preparation for white glove. Why? Because we knew that there was going to be there was a deadline coming. There was something coming that we had to work for. And in the same way of that white glove, there is going to be a time when we're going to stand before the Lord. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2 that those which have this hope in him, which is those that have put their trust in the Lord, if you have this hope that Jesus is coming again and we're going to see him, then you are going to have this motivation, and that is going to be we purify ourselves in preparation for that. Notice again, the Bible says every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. That means I, in my preparation for this rapture, this time when Christ is coming, listen, I need to be prepared. I can't be sitting around. I don't want Christ coming back and finding dirty socks everywhere, in a figurative sense, or dust in my closet, or, clothes under my bed, so to speak. I want the Lord Jesus Christ to come, finding me prepared and ready, expectant, with my suitcases back, so to speak, and ready to go when He calls and that trumpet comes. Listen tonight. Let's just apply that into our lives. Are there things tonight that we would be ashamed to have discovered when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back? You know, listen tonight. That's a very real thing. Well, Pastor, you know, I can be forgiven. Sins are forgiven. I'll just, when I see Jesus, I'll ask Him to forgive me for this. Listen, my friend, tonight, that is not the way it works. We need to be ready tonight to meet the Lord. I believe we can do this by salvation. If you have not trusted the Lord as your personal Savior, you have no hope of seeing Him in heaven. And I don't say that in a judgmental way. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus told His disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. You prepare tonight to meet the Lord by trusting in His shed blood on the cross. That's the only way you're going to see Him when that rapture comes. But number two, we prepare by a pure heart and a pure life. And if we truly are hoping that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. Listen, I didn't hope for that person to come in with their white glove and to check my room by shoving everything in my closet. No. That's not the way it worked. I was hoping when they came that they wouldn't find anything. And I did everything in my power to make sure that they didn't. Boy, what a satisfying thing it was to know when you got through white glove that your room passed. Or your job passed. Wow, that was huge, man. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I had fulfilled the responsibility and I was ready. There was no condemnation. There wasn't anything that I had to be ashamed of. Boy, may that be our testimony as we meet the Lord. That there's nothing in our hearts, nothing in our lives, nothing in our minds that would defile us, cause us to be ashamed at His coming. You see, it's something that as we prepare for it, we need to be ready all the way through. Not just in our hearts at salvation, but in our lives in holy living. And I believe it's real. And tonight, the Bible very clearly says, if we have hope in us of these things, that we're going to purify ourselves even as He is pure. And so my challenge to you tonight is to stand in this doctrine of the rapture that's coming. There's a lot of controversy about the timing of it and so forth. And I believe that the Bible is very clear as God wants us to be. But you know what? Let me just say this. The key is this, that He is coming again. And we're going to see Him. That's the bottom line. And we need to be ready. May I challenge you in that? Can I comfort you in that tonight? And let's live in light of this, that, you know, the Lord may come back. No, it's not foolish. Thessalonians made a little bit of a mistake there. They thought, oh, well, actually, it wasn't. I'm speaking out of turn. I'm not sure that it was a Thessalonians. I need to go back and study that a little bit more. But there was a group of believers that thought, oh, if the Lord's coming, let's quit my job. Let's run up all kinds of debt. I don't need to do anything. We'll just sit and wait for Him. You know, let's just kind of hunker down here and let's give up. Let's just live it up. God's coming back. No. Paul says, listen, that's not the way it works either. We need to be busy. We're active. We're serving. And the more we understand Christ is coming, the more important it becomes for us to be active in that. And so my challenge is to you tonight, let's live in light of that rapture. Let's live according to the truth of the Word of God. Comforting, hope, joy, motivation, all of the things that God wants to do in our lives, waiting for His return. Amen. Heavenly Father, would You help us tonight, I pray, as we understand the Word of God tonight. You've been so good to give us such a detailed promise that we can stand in. Not something, Lord, that is vague or man-made, but Lord, clearly from the Word of God, and clearly, Lord, very detailed promises about what's going to happen. Thank You, Lord, for that tonight. Help us, I pray, as a church, collectively, to, Lord, take inventory of our lives. Help the young people, Lord, tonight, that they might not be missing out on this very important doctrine. Oh, Lord, I pray that You might help us to be pure, even as You are pure. Lord, we thank You for Your love in this and Your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.